And now for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about handling stress. You know, stress is a terrific problem nowadays in our world. Almost everywhere you look, people are coping with stress in one way or another. On our recent trip to Sedona, Arizona, to attend the Air Force chaplain's reunion, we felt a lot of stress in driving that 1,200 miles round trip, the constant stress of wondering what the other guy on the road was doing, what he was thinking. And then there was a place that we went through the mountains and the curves were just something else. We almost got sick. But anyway, around every curve we were worried about. And then after we got to the conference, one morning we ate breakfast with a lady that wasn't with our group. And of course, as we were conversing with her, the main thing we were going to talk about was why we were there. And we told her why we were there, and then she said, "Well, I'm here to get away from the stress in my office." I said, "Well, you're in Sedona, Arizona, and it's wonderful, and it's peaceful, and you must be relaxed." And she said, "No, it will probably take me a week before I get relaxed." We all face and feel stress in life. And this morning, we need to see how God can help us with the stress in our lives. Jesus knew all about stress. John the Baptist had been slain by Herod. Jesus withdrew to a solitary place where he hoped he could be alone, find solace with God. But great clouds of people followed him wherever he went. And he felt compassion for them and he healed their sick. In our scripture for this morning, in the 14th chapter of Matthew, we read, "As evening approached, the disciples came to Jesus and said, 'This is a remote place, and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy for themselves some food.' But Jesus said to them, 'They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat.' The disciples were confused, and they said, 'We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." And then he directed the people to sit down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, and Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people, and they all ate and were satisfied. And then they picked up 12 baskets of leftover broken pieces. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides the women and the children. The feeding of the 5,000 is one of the best love stories in the New Testament. Thousands of great sermons have been preached on it, and we are familiar with most of the great themes that have been derived from it. For instance, offer but a little to Christ, and he will do much with it. Christ himself is the bread of life. He's the food for the world. Some seeking to relieve the story of its supernatural elements see the story as one of sharing. That is, the boy shared his loaves and fishes with others, and others were led to do the same thing, and the food multiplied like a church potluck dinner. There were many great themes here, but I would like this morning to take a different view of this great, wonderful thing. Because stress is such a destructive factor in our lives, this story might also illustrate 2 different ways of approach to life. One is the approach of the disciples, and the other is the approach of Jesus. Have you ever noticed how rarely in the Gospels the disciples are shown in a favorable light? If you and I were writing the Gospels, we would want to make them heroes out of our disciples. After all, these are the people who were responsible for giving us the church. If they had not been faithful to God's call after Christ's death and resurrection, you and I would still be heathen today. But the Gospels show these men with all of their shortcomings. The disciples are often seen frightened and terrified. They are almost always anxious about something or another. In this wonderful account, they're worried. 5,000 men and an untold number of women and children have come to hear the Master. It's dinner time and there are no golden arches nearby. And so, what will they do? Do we have any worries like that as individuals or as a church this morning? They are right there with the disciples. Think about it. What would we do if 5 extra people came to our house to dinner? Much less the 5,000 men with the families. Talk about stress. What will the disciples do? After all, food doesn't come out of thin air. Not at least since the Exodus, when the children of Israel were in the desert. The disciples had cause to be concerned. But what we need to see is that this is the way they approached every problem in life. They were nervous. They saw a cloud in every silver lining. They lived by fear and not by faith. They were much like many of us today. Do you know anybody who gets almost frantic when they're caught in heavy traffic? Auto safety experts claim you don't save much time by speeding in the big city traffic. People who tailgate, wind in and out of traffic, jump every light, and to keep their foot on the accelerator, rarely arrive at work more than a few minutes or so earlier than the person who calmly and safely takes his or her time to get to work. Then why do people drive that way? Anxiety might be the cause. They aren't trying to be obnoxious. They can't help themselves. They're driven by free-floating fear. They don't even know what it is that is eating at them. They only know that if they stop running, something dreadful will happen. Henry Ward Beecher, one of the great preachers years ago, made this statement: every tomorrow has two handles. We can take hold of it with the handle of anxiety, or we can take hold of it with the handle of faith. Let's see how Jesus handled problems. Let's learn from the Master of how to deal with stressful situations. Jesus handles this stressful situation with confidence. The anxious disciples suggest that Jesus disperse the crowd so the people can go back to town and get some food. But Jesus said, you don't need to send them away. You take care of it. Spoken like a true executive, a true leader of people. You take care of it. No wonder books are written about him with a title like Jesus, CEO. Jesus spoke with confidence. People were amazed because they said he spoke with authority. But you say, well, that was easy for Jesus. He was God's son. But friends, are we not God's children? Why do we allow our fears to drive us? Howard Thurman, used to tell about how impressed his grandmother was with the preaching that she heard as a former slave from a slave minister that was able to come to that particular plantation about four times a year. On each occasion, he had drilled into the consciousness of all of the hearers the notion that they did not have to feel inferior because they were slaves. As Thurman used to tell it, everything in him quivered with the pulsing tremor of raw energy when his grandmother's words, she would come to the triumphant climax of the slave minister's message, because he always ended the message the same way. He would say, "You," with his eyes fastened on them, standing to his full height of 6 feet tall, "You are not slaves. You are God's children." Don't you imagine that those children of Africa stood taller when they heard this man of God speak? And so should we stand tall. We too are children of God. Jesus came to every situation with confidence, not from his physical strength nor his appearance, but because of his relationship with God. Confidence is important as we meet stressful situations in life. Then Jesus handles this stressful situation with calm. The disciples are frantic. They say to him, "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus says to them, "Bring them here to me." And then Jesus did a very simple thing. He directed the people to sit down. Have you ever noticed that what a calming effect it has on people when they sit down? Sometimes the best advice we can give people is to be still. Sometimes that's the best advice we can give to ourselves. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. A man was seated beside a pond when he accidentally dropped a silver coin in the water. He poked around with a stick to an attempt to separate the coin from the stones, but this stirred up so much mud that he couldn't see anything. Not knowing what else to do, he finally sat down quietly and glanced down. And after a time, he glanced down and he saw clear water again, and he also saw the coin. Sometimes the best thing we can do when we're stressed out is to quit running around frantically and just sit down or kneel down, compose ourselves, and commune with God and pray to God. Jesus showed his confidence and his calm. He also showed his competence. He blessed the loaves and multiplied them. He fed the people. He fed the people spiritual bread, and he fed the people physical bread. He healed their bodies, and he healed their spirits. And people flocked to Jesus because he could get it done. There is nothing that gives us confidence and an inner calm like being competent at a task that is important to us. One way to relieve the stress in our lives is to be competent in the areas that are important to us. If we have so many tasks that we are unable to do any of them well, we need to cut down, prioritize, and make our time count. Some immediate things anyone can do at any time to relieve stress is to cut out time wasters. Make lists each day and do those things that are the most important first, regardless of how distasteful they are, and then do the rest later. You will be amazed how much stress you can remove from your life in this manner. If If being a parent is important to you, then spend some time with your children and attend courses in parenting skills. And here at the church, we have courses, video courses in parenting skills. And we can have one of those going for you if you really want to have a course like that. We're ready and eager to have a course like that. If your marriage or future marriage is important to you, plan to attend a marriage enrichment course, another course that we have in videotapes. If your job is important to you, find out what you need to do to excel your responsibilities and attend a night school course once or twice a week to help you. Years ago, when I was working for the YMCA, a divorced lady with four children was a secretary. I suggested that she go to night school once or twice a week. She said, "What will I do with my four kids?" I said, "Swap babysitters nights with a neighbor." And she did it. And she upgraded herself and was promoted to personnel manager. And after 10 years of going to night schools and that type of school, she got her B, Bachelor of Arts in Business Administration, and she became a vice president. And she finished her master's degree, and she began teaching college courses, and that's what she's doing today in her retirement. The final element in our stress reduction is companionship. We assume that Jesus spent so much time with the disciples because he wanted to train them to continue his work after he was gone. But maybe, just maybe, Jesus also counted on his disciples for friendship and emotional support. The University of Pittsburgh psychologist Thomas Carmack asked 39 college-age women to begin with a number of 1,000 and to count down by 17s. This is a difficult task, and he instructed these women to hurry it up. This was a very stressful thing for them. Most of them experienced significant increases in their heart rate and blood pressure. And then they were asked to do this drill one more time, but this time they were allowed to have a friend with them. Both tests affected the women's cardiovascular systems, but having a companion on hand with them reduced the impact by a half. We need friends to help us to keep from coming unglued. This is exactly what our church is all about. Each week we hear messages that help us with the living of our lives based on the Bible and the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. We find friends that help us with our problems, and we become part of an extended family. Of course, Jesus' most important companion was his Father. He fellowshipped with his disciples, and he fellowshipped with God. Did you realize, have you ever realized that Jesus spent more time in prayer than any other person in the Bible? But he did. No wonder his life, though lived under most intense and tense circumstances, was still relatively stress-free. He brought to each task these essential elements: confidence, calm, competence, and companionship. Some unknown author put Christ's attitude towards life in a little poem, and it goes like this: "When we see the lilies spinning in distress, taking thought to manufacturing loveliness, when we see the birds all building barns for store, 'Twill be time for us to worry, not before. The most important action we can take to handle our stress is to do as Jesus did. Seek to have fellowship with one another and other Christians once a week, and read a page a day in the Psalms and the Proverbs and the New Testament, beginning with Matthew, and then immediately pray every day and talk to God as you would talk to a close friend. Tell him about your happy times and your fears and your problems, and ask for his help and his guidance. But all of us need to dedicate or rededicate our lives to God in prayer. During the next few moments of silent prayer, let's do it today. Just pray, "Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins of the past, and help me to a happy life." In Jesus' name.